This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
What if your pet chose you not just for love, but for some deep soul healing for the two of you? That's the kind of work that we're diving into today with my guest. And I'm very excited to share her and her work with you. Nicole Harp is going to be joining us in just a moment, and I'm going to tell you all about her, and she'll tell you all about what she does. But first, we have to take a short break from our sponsor. You're listening to The Pet Health Coach on Pet Life Radio. This is Jodi Teich, your host, and we're going to be right back. So grab that healthy beverage, get comfortable, and we'll see you in a moment.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Pet Health Coach on Pet Life Radio, and I'm Jodi Teich, your host. So today joining me is Nicole Harp. Now I'm going to read from my list because she's done so much. She is an award-winning abstract artist, an intuitive, a professional animal communicator, which is a super interesting lane we'll talk more about. And her work bridges the spiritual and the emotional worlds of both people and pets because we're so connected. She paints portraits, but they're not just regular portraits, they're soul portraits. And she's going to tell us more about that. And she helps humans understand these beautiful fur babies that we love so much. So I'm so excited to have Nicole on the show today. Nicole, welcome to The Pet Health Coach.
Thank you, Jodi. Thank you for having me so much. I'm honored.
It is my pleasure.
Yeah, you have a great show and I'd love to be part of it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So let's dive in. So you are both an artist, an intuitive artist, really, an animal communicator. Did one come before the other? And how did the two evolve together?
I want to say, if you don't mind, I'm going to answer your questions, but I want to go back to one thing you said about the fur babies or our animals. I was going to say, I don't like to call them pets, because we're their guardians, right? They have free will. They could leave if they wanted, but
that's right.
They are chosen, and you called them and they called you into their lives. But I just think it's so much more than that. I mean, I know you couldn't say that in the opening, but it's like some people couldn't exist without their animals. Like, I mean, they could not open their hearts to humans the way they do their animals.
Yes.
And, you know, what's beautiful about animal communication is, and learning it because I teach it, that, you know, just I have a new mentor and she's new to everything, to the metaphysical, and came from a really Christian background where, you know, you couldn't even do yoga. It was taboo. It was like a devil. And, you know, doing your personal work, which, you know, is like so important, like doing that, but doing it while you're learning animal communication, it is the same. You know, you start to, you know, maybe healing isn't about getting better, but about letting go of everything that's not yours, right? Like Da Vinci talks about chipping away at the sculpture, and he said, I just got rid of everything that didn't belong. I mean, all this false baggage, the patterns that aren't even ours. And animal communication, you know, heals you, helps you let go of those emotional wounds by learning it And you're learning about yourself, but then you also learn the soul contracts that you and your animals have and, you know, why they're here to help you and how you together can be your both highest and best self and engage and utilize the mirrors that your animals reflect. And they're always reflecting mirrors. So once they hold up one and you kind of process those emotional wounds, then they'll hold up another one. And it's the most joyful way to get rid of your stuff, you know? To get rid of, you know, to clear things up.
It is powerful.
It's so profound that I could go on and on about her. And you know,
yes,
profound it is.
Yes.
And you know how profound Annabelle and your cat, I forgot your cat's name.
Suki. Yes.
The lessons every day, small and large. I say this, I'm revamping my website, and part of my website has these profound truth generator. So, you know, when I'm communicating, I do all the different types of communal communication. You know, most of the time people call when there's an issue. I wish they wouldn't wait. But, you know, but by that time, it's definitely needed, right? Because you've gone through, because, you know, and spirit is life, and mind is the builder, and body is the result. So by the time you get to a physical issue, you've already kind of, you know, it's already been there emotionally, and it's definitely spiritual. So the physical is like, it's the last, you know, it's coming out. Things have to be, you know, so that's when they usually call.
Healing must be holistic.
Oh, yeah.
Mind, body, spirit. We know this.
You know.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Nicole bought my book. God
get
bless you.
Get this book if you haven't, people. I got my bookmark in there. I got bookmark from my book and your book. I love it.
Thank you so much. And I have Nicole's book as well. It has to be, because on a practical level, we become what we think about all day.
Right.
On a spiritual level, everything is energetics.
Everything.
And we are so connected to these beautiful beings. My Annabelle is right behind me on the chair. So, and they are so intuitive and so sensitive to what's going on for us energetically. So every thought, you know, every gesture.
Every intention.
Every intention.
I know.
Is communicated loud and clear to our animals, right? And that's what I want to talk with you about today, because your work is a foundational piece of healing for us and our animals. So is there one that came first?
So the animal communication or the art? The art, I've been painting. I've been a professional artist over 33 years. I mean, I went to a great art school, VCU, top third, you know. And so I think that foundation's great, because if you can get through that VCU, Virginia Commonwealth, you can get through anything, the graphic design program. And I was always painting abstract. I've never been someone who loved realism. I figured the camera's great for that. I always like to be reminded that it was a painting, and I've always been a painter, though I've done other things for animal. So it's kind of parallel. I've always been an artist and a painter, but I've always been intuitive and always loved animals. And I've always asked, what more can I do for animals? You know, I did the rescue groups. We did the fostering. We've had tons of 24 animals between my partner and I over the course of time. And so I've always done that. And I've always been an abstract painter. So those two have always worked together. And on the last project, I did two big projects for animals. I was like, this isn't it. I'm not reaching enough animals. It was engineer stuff, and I'm more of an artist and an intuitive. It's like, let's go back to what I really know. Why am I learning something completely new? And I was a couple feet out of my comfort zone, which is always great, but I was like too far out of my comfort zone. And it's not comfort zone, like knowledge zone. So when I, 6 years ago, when I started honing my intuition, I did all the psychic, the psychic classes and mentorship, mediumship, and I was working with humans. And then I was like, this is great and all, but I really need to be working with animals. So then it just made sense. And I shifted to animal communication, and it's been that ever since. But it's great because, you know, when you have a client come in with your animal, it's a three-way, the animal, or depending animals they have that you're communicating with, and the human, because they're just an integral part of that animals they have. And plus they hold all the resources, right?
So it sounds like the art came first, and then it sort of organically morphed into communication, like communicating, being a communicator, first for people and then for animals, which is where I hear that you felt your real true alignment lies.
Right. Like when I said, what more can I do? As that evolved, you know, this idea of oneness with animals and with the environment, because my work was always about animals, the environment, my art, and, but in an abstract way, so that was like the perfect, like, and I've always kind of done more than one thing. You know, I've always been an artist, but then there's other, you know, the compassion and the empathy and the humanity part of it, you know, has always been so strong. So it's been perfect, because I do soul painting workshops and I do soul paintings, and then I see animals and work with animals and animal communication and humans. And what I was saying was the psychic part of it, you know, really being able to kind of tap into the energy of the human as well. You know, and as well as while you're communicating with the animal, it's just, you know, energy is in the form and formless, and it's just kind of just channeling energy, you know,
yes.
just managing your energy. That's all
yes.
it is. Yeah.
Let's do this because some people listening are not going to be familiar with animal communicators and animal communicating. Give me a practical, real-life example of how this could work in someone's life.
So how they would benefit or what is
yes.
animal communication? How could they benefit? Well,
yes.
animals communicate through the heart frequency. They're sentient beings capable of free will, likes, dislikes, opinions, same thing as us. And so let me even go back a minute. We come into the world telepathic, so do animals. As we come in, the language starts to dominate and the telepathic falls away. With the animals, they need to continue to be telepathic because they need to thrive and survive. And that's, you know, they're communicating all the time. And, you know, and there's no time and space. So let me say this, and I'm going to go back to that. I'm sorry I'm not a linear thinker, but I will come back to that. But I have been in workshops where there's 500 people and we have an animal on the screen that we're communicating with. And that animal, excuse me, is 500 people. And we're all asking different questions or one question. And that animal's filtering out 500 different responses to 500 different people in a way that you are going to understand. So communication, it's telepathic. So that's communicating across it and pathic across the distance. So once you're communicating, connecting to opening the channel and connecting. So you have to be quiet. You have to, you know how you receive or be able to receive. Animals receive mostly through visual. So if I'm communicating with an animal, I'm going to send a visual. I can also, you know, think the question in my head or say it. And when you get it back, they're going to give you they're going to give you information in a way that you understand. Now, that animal might might be more clairsentient or clairaudient or whatever. That's why it's good for us to practice all our clairs so that we can excuse me, communicate with all types of animals because some are quiet, some are super talkative, some are like, oh, what's this? But I've not met one. Let me knock on something that never wanted to communicate. Like, well, I've worked with some that were really sick that had a hard time with the energy. Like, I don't have enough energy to communicate with you and be this sick, that type thing, or helping animals cross over. But so you can communicate for any reason you want to, just to establish a better relationship to why is my animal peeing on or scratching the couch or peeing on the floor? Why is, you know, to health reasons, to doing a body scan. And the great thing is if you're paying attention and if you want to know it and if you want to release it, when we do communicate, we can talk about the mirror they're showing you. And most of the time, the humans know it. They know it. You know when you're already doing it, you're just so... Because you're hearing it in your own voice, or you're not hearing it, you're feeling it, right? Or it's a knowing or a gut feeling. You're like, oh, I'm, you know, making it up. They can't be actually telling me that, but you're already getting information from them. If you have a tight bond, you are, right? And then if you were to just ask, by the time you can't be in your head, and which is related to soul paintings, you have to be pulling what's inside out with soul paintings. And with animal communication, you can't be in your head. You have to be feeling it. And once you've heard it and you've said to yourself, oh, I'm making that up, you're already in your head and you've missed it. It's that quick. It's instantaneous. It's through the heart frequency, spirit to spirit. And they're always communicating. And And why we doubt it is because we hear it in our own voice.
This is what I want to ask you. So there are times when, because I want people to be able to relate it to something that happens in their lives. There are times when I have an idea pop into my head that's going to help me solve a problem or get something done or to check something out. And it just pops right in. Now, I have come to know, I listen to that,
yes.
because I've come to know that that is infinite intelligence, my intuitive part of me, that communication with infinite intelligence. Is this that kind of tapping in the head that I'm explaining when your animal is communicating with you?
It could be. It could be a knowing. So like we can call that what you're talking about, source. We can call it collective, right? The collective conscious.
Yeah.
So you just know things about your animals. You know what they want and you can look at them and also, and it's, so it's not reading their body language or anything like that. It's
right.
Connecting that in like on a soul level.
Yeah.
It's a soul level and just kind of knowing. So perfect example of something so easy people can try at home. You go to walk your, let's go dogs, you know, because some people walk their cats, but you go to walk your dog. You have an idea. Okay. For example, we walk our dogs and there's a street we don't particularly like to go. I don't particularly like to go down, but Charlie, if we haven't gone down that, we let Charlie decide. We have three dogs. We let him decide the walks. You always let your animals decide the walks. You make sure you have enough time. And it doesn't mean they decide everything, but he gets to decide because he will create a walk that is so interesting and fun that I could never, the same streets, the streets haven't changed, but he will create a walk for us that is so interesting and different that we couldn't even try to do that. Like I cannot make up the as many different versions that he gives me. Now, when we go to do the walk, he'll either take a right or a left and there'll something that'll pop into my head about not going to that street or going to that street. And it's him. Is it him telling me or me telling him?
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That your idea was that.
How do you know?
You ideas. Right. And there is a huge, I just want to say this, I'm going to finish that story. There is a huge part of imagination and intuition. One cannot happen without the other. You think about people who win all the gold medals, or let's just use like sports. They visualize it, they feel it, down to the point of like feeling themselves with the gold medal on.
That's in my book. Yes.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay.
Mind mastery.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So imagination and intention work together. So you're not imagining it. When Charlie tells me that, either he initiates a conversation or I do. And sometimes when he pops in, he's telling me, and sometimes I'll say, and that's why it's so good to have your personal practice to know when it's you and when it's not you. And when learning animal communication, when not being validated and saying, well, that's not, you know, accurate or whatever, is so important because it's not about right or wrong. It's about understanding was that feeling when I wasn't accurate, what did that feel like? And when I was spot on and being validated, what did that mean? So then those times, and it's just practice, those times when you get that hit from Charlie, he told me, okay, we're not going to go that way. And sometimes he'll, because I know you don't want to, and sometimes I'll mind back. But a good thing to do is to tell, walking your dogs, you get to a stop sign. Before you get there, you tell them, turn left or turn right. You know, you say, could you please go left?
And are you actually saying it or you're thinking
saying it in your mind?
Okay.
You're saying it in your mind.
Yes.
Or out loud, either one. But
okay.
You say it in your mind. Try it in your mind this time and say, before you get there, can you turn left? I'd like to try this way today. And then they will turn left or they will turn right or they will do whatever. And then you thank them. It is so important to take good and bad out of your dog, out of your animal's lives. Good dog, bad dog, or that, this general stuff. No one wants to hear, you did a great job. Great about what, Jody? Jody, what was I good at? You know, be specific and like tell Annabelle and Suki. Why they're so important to you. Like, what is Annabelle's job in the house and why? And she's excellent at it. And Suki too. And there's more than one. Tell them why and thank them. And changing the way just you see your sentient beings, your animals as equal, will change the whole dynamics. And it is a way of thinking. It's a way of understanding. I have this merging meditation with an animal and rocks and water that will just blow your mind. And it does change the way you see things and our place in this world.
This is powerful. Yes.
You think they're better. We're not.
Yeah. What I'd like to do is, this is so interesting to me. We need to take a short break from our sponsor. But when we come back, I want to talk with you about the wounds piece.
Okay, great.
How you help people, pet parents, and pets heal their wounds. That kind of guidance, as well as a little bit about your soul paintings. So we're going to be right back. Refresh that favorite beverage. Get cozy. And we'll be right back.
As your dog or cat chewed through yet another set of sheets?
I get it. I've been there. But instead of replacing them with more scratchy, low-quality bedding, why not treat yourself to what Oprah and Kris Jenner sleep on every night? It's called Cozy Earth. And yes, it's as dreamy as it sounds. Their bamboo sheets and pajamas are buttery soft, cooling, moisture-wicking, and they actually get softer every time you wash them. I'm talking next level snuggle mode here, folks. These sheets have been on Oprah's favorite things list 7 years in a row, and there's a reason why. Cozy Earth gives you the softest, coolest sleep of your life. And just for Pet Life Radio listeners, I scored you an exclusive 41% off. That's the biggest discount they offer anywhere. Just use promo code PETLIFERADIO at CozyEarth.com and sleep like the celebrity your pet already thinks you are. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code PETLIFERADIO. You'll thank me at bedtime.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. If you've just joined, we're here today with Nicole Harp. Nicole is an award-winning abstract artist. She's an animal communicator. She is a soul heart communicator for people and pets. And she focuses on pets, but that includes their people. So I'm really happy to have Nicole here today. Nicole, I want to talk a little bit about healing wounds. Many of us, most of us, carry around some deep wounds, often from childhood. And our pets can carry around deep wounds. My Annabelle came from a puppy mill where she was bred as a puppy, pretty much, force bred. And so there are wounds that they carry. How does your work help people and their animals co-create healing on a deep level?
Well, just to speak to what you just said, we are attracted to the animals that have similar wounds. And, you know, to take that into another physical element, but you've seen people that start to look like their animals.
Yes.
We're like attracted to the point that almost like you're like, oh my God, they look just like their dog. I look just like their cat, you know, to that physical. I mean, they can be that much of an attraction, but we're attracted because we have the same similar abandonment issues or trust issues. And that's our kind of soul and their soul's contracts that we have with animals. And however long or short they're in your life, they're there for that reason to work through that. So, you know, and I do want to say, like, you have to be ready. The animal has to be ready and the human has to be ready. And the animals have this cloak of protection, as do we, to function in this world. We put the cloak of protection on to a ready to release. And most of the time when a person has reached out to an animal communicator, they're ready because the animal is ready. And it's come to a point where they're almost backing you in a corner. You're going to have to do something. Something has to change. And the human knows it and the animal knows it. And so if you're both ready, well, the animals are always ready when you're ready. I mean, it seems to, you know, not like the first day you adopt them, but they seem to move quicker. I mean, they just do. They can release multiple wounds versus simultaneously while we are. They just are not as attached to the pain. And when I say too, like, so many people want to know, it's just something I just find fascinating. So many people want to know when they adopt, and I just so support adopting and fostering and adopting, what happened to my animal before this past life, like in the puppy mill. Animals will tell you if it's going to benefit you.
Okay.
But if it's not going to benefit you, they are not attached to the pain. They are not attached, but if only if it will help you now. Because humans have this like hero complex. We have to feel like we save them, and they do not want that. They want an equal relationship. They want to give and take. They do not want to feel like they're something that you saved or rescued.
Okay.
They want the equal because they're giving it back too. We just it's changing our perception of why they're in our lives. When I meet with a client and we're talking about abandonment issues, you're going out of the house and your dog's, you know, barking and screaming, or, you know, they won't, you know, some people actually perpetuate that by the nervous energy, or, oh, they can't function without me. They're doing that because they miss me.
Oh, yeah. The anxiety that they transmit.
Yeah. So it's a lot of different things. And really what I do is I just tap into the animal, and sometimes I'll reframe the question, but I'll figure out get the human to tell me what's going on. All of it, because Jody, I used to say, don't tell me anything and just really just talk to the animal. But there's so much that if you knew, you could give a better communication.
You know,
when you're telling me the situation, good. Tell me the situation. Then I will go in, and even I reframe the questions, because it's really not getting an answer. It's finding out, okay, well, what's the emotion behind that? Why are you doing that? Why are you still doing that? You didn't used to, but now you are. So now you feel like you can take your cloak off and you can process this and we can do this together. They weren't doing it before because it served them to not. They were still feeling like they needed to protect. But now that they're more open, they've been with you 5 years, you have a really strong bond or whatever. Now they're ready to release it. And hopefully the human is too. And they always give great solutions to what they can do physically, that what needs to be done in the home.
Do you find, based on your post-reading or communication with the animal, do you find from the pet parents that after this, issues fall away, they start resolving when the animal is heard and understood?
So there's so many parts to that, Jody. There's the part of like any relationship, any good relationship is about communication. And there's the part when they're, you know, everybody wants to be heard, just the being heard part and them being able to share how they feel. And then you take it to the solutions that they give you. And then the witness, right? So I'm a witness and they're a witness of hearing that animal. You know, we're communicating, the animal's sharing how they feel. And then so much the emotional aspect of it. What you know, when you do that, like, how does it make you feel? And then, you know, what are some suggestions that I can give your, you know, Jody to change it, you know, and they'll give you specific situations, like stuff you could not have like come up with, you know? But like at the same time, you know, if your animal is doing something that's beautiful that you see, they're reflecting the beauty in you. The beauty you see in your animal companion is the beauty you see in you. And they're always trying to get us to see our inner beauty and that everything is unconditional love. So we have spiritual consciousness, mental and physical, and they live in spiritual consciousness and there's no duality there. There's no good and bad in spiritual consciousness. That's why they hate the good and bad word, by the way. But only unconditional love. So they're here to teach you unconditional love. And when your cat or your dog nudge you to stop doing what you're doing work-wise, it's because we need to take a break. We need to go put our feet in the earth, in the grandmother earth, or we need to just get some water, get, you know, stretch our legs or do whatever. Because then they'll be fine and you'll be fine. They're your biggest reminders.
Ah, it's beautiful.
Anytime, just look at them. What are they doing? What should I be doing? When it's beautiful, you thank them and you see it in your and feel it in yourself.
Yeah, yeah. That is a powerful concept.
Like everything you need wrapped up in one. Yeah.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about your soul paintings.
Well, that is excellent segue because the beauty the animals want you to see, the inner beauty, the soul painting does the same thing. So they're both about healing. They're both about healing. You know, the animals are here to help you release all, get rid of all that stuff, chip away at the stuff that's not yours so you can see how freaking amazing you are, how creative you are, how fun you are, you know, your inner child, you know, how smart you are. They already know all that, right? They already know they are that way. And then the soul painting. So the animals do it in a way through the mirroring and the love and having you see the inner brilliance, and the soul painting does it. The healing in a way that's showing you yourself, pure consciousness, when you come into this world, how you come in before you've picked up all that stuff, before you've picked up all the false baggage and the preconceived notions. And it's giving you that in a 3D color. It's pulling the inside out, putting your consciousness, energy, and energetic imprint on a page, and it's doing it in color, abstract color, for you to feel. And then I have questions that you can kind of sit with, and a writing that helps you understand what spirit is telling you for healing and love. And then even questions, I'm working on a workbook now, but questions that you can reflect upon, because art changes according to the state of mind of the viewer. And then you look at Eric Kandel, Neuro Prize winning neuropsychologist. Great art is great because it's ambiguous, and abstract art is ambiguous. You have to bring more of yourself to the artwork to finish the story. Abstract art does that. It's not realism. A boat's always a boat. A lighthouse is always a lighthouse. But with abstract art, it's more about the feeling part. And what are humans, what do we need to do more? Understand our feelings. My mom crossed over, and one of the things after she passed over, she told me, and I've always, like, you know, I keep it right by my computer, is if you understand, and she didn't. Is something she didn't do, but she does now, understanding her emotions. If we can understand our emotions, our feelings, and what we're feeling and emotions, then we will be happy. There's something about happiness. We can understand that. And then the soul painting shows you that in a 3D form, and the animals show you that in a 3D form, but it's an animal.
Well, we sadly have to wrap up. So is there a last thought that you would like to share with listeners about you, what you do, whatever?
In general, what I'd like to share is that what animals have taught me, like their profound truths. I was telling you about the profound truth generator. When you click on that generator, you click on an animal's face and it shows you their profound truths. You would not know that an animal wrote those. I mean, you know what I mean? It sounds like just philosophical humans, but just the level of depth in which these sentient beings feel, communicate. I mean, the oneness that they're here to help us understand what it means to be human and be present. And I think what I would like to say is just understanding that the oneness and what they, you know, the healing that they and the love that they can, how they can open our hearts is profound. I mean, it's a reason to adopt an animal tomorrow if you don't already. I mean, you haven't loved till you've loved an animal, right?
Yes. And, you know, two thoughts come up with that. One is you see these incredibly powerful videos on Instagram or TikTok where animals are from completely different species, are relating to each other in such a loving way, friendships that are formed that are unlikely in our minds.
Right.
So deep and powerful. So that's one thing. Sentient beings are sentient beings, and they understand and see and feel and hear other sentient beings. The other is, I was just having a meeting earlier today with a gentleman from halfway across the world about something in the pet space that he's doing. And we'd never met. And his three dogs and my dog and cat opened the door very quickly to friendship. And I said this to him, you know, anytime you meet someone, a fellow animal lover, it's the fastest icebreaker.
Yep, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
So tell people where they can find you to commission you for a soul painting, to, you know, commission you for a reading, a communication reading, whatever.
Thank you, Jody. Harpspace.org. So H-A-R-P, my last name, and then space, harpspace.org.
And we'll have that on the show page notes as well. So
okay.
People can find you there. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Nicole.
Thank you, Jody. It's a pleasure meeting you, and you're doing some good work in Austin, Texas, and all around the world. So thank you for just making the world a better place. I appreciate this.
Oh, thank you, and right back at you. And thank you all for listening. As a health coach for people and pets, my mission is to share holistic healing, body, mind, and spirit for the whole family to create vibrant, good health. So tune in next time for the expert interviews, tips, deep soul information like Nicole shared today for the animals and around and about the animals we love to give them the longest, most vibrant life we can. I'm Jody Teich, and this is the Pet Health Coach.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.